Well, after 4 months off, we are back. And so glad, as Mindy said, that you are with us to venture into Storyline of the Bible. This is the fifth time in the past 20 years Women's Bible Study at College Church has offered this course. And within a few weeks, we hope you'll see why it's such a go-to study. Well, right now, you can sit back, listen, perhaps take a few notes on the outline for Lesson 1 on page 5 of your study. So go ahead and turn there, page 5 of the Storyline study. There's an outline for our intro. And you'll also want to have your Bible close by. So in the next 20 minutes, we will work through the introduction, Lesson 1, and for next week, prepare Lesson 2 on page 7. Well, let's get started. And for a moment, consider The Tale of Peter Rabbit by Beatrix Potter, a story about a widowed mother rabbit and her four children, Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter. Well, the story goes like this. Before Mrs. Rabbit takes a trip to the baker in town, she gives specific instructions to her children to not go into Mr. McGregor's garden while she's gone, but instead to stay in the field or down the lane, or they too might be put in the pie, like their father, who had an accident in the garden. Quite horrifying for any age reader to contemplate a loved one put in a pie, let alone a child. But if we read the tale of Peter Rabbit from beginning to end, we can follow what the author's getting at, what she wants us, the reader, to take away. But what if we only read the middle of the Peter Rabbit story, with the following illustrations? Little Peter crying and shivering in a pot with Mr. McGregor standing next to him in his oversized, rugged work boots. Or Peter's blue jacket with brass buttons caught in the gooseberry net. Or Peter's jacket and shoes turned into a scarecrow. If this middle section is all we're aware of, we will assume the worst, that Peter, like his father, meets his demise in the garden, and the McGregors will again be serving rabbit pie for dinner. But this isn't the whole story. Peter does find his way out of the shed and garden and back to the safety of his mother's care. He isn't in great shape on his arrival. He's put to bed with a dose of chamomile tea, but he does make it home. You see, if we read the entire Peter Rabbit story from beginning to end, we learn that Peter had a choice to make that day. He could join his siblings who chose to obey and go down the lane in search of berries, or he could choose, despite his mother's instructions, to go to the McGregors in search of a more exotic food group, garden vegetables. By reading the entire story, we learn that the tale of Peter Rabbit is not just about cute bunny names in the English countryside. By reading the whole story, we learn that Beatrix Potter has a truth to convey about the importance of listening to and obeying a parent. Well, on a grander and obviously more consequential scale, we can approach the Bible similarly. Imagine if we were to only read, say, the story of the Tower of Babel, the account of the technological prowess of man that God recognizes and stops by confusing their language and then scattering them across the earth. Well, this isolated story hardly gives a comprehensive picture of how God deals with his created people. It represents only one part of the story. Or how about when God opens the mouth of a donkey, and the donkey speaks to its rider in the Old Testament book of Numbers? The talking donkey story intrigues, but does it represent the whole biblical narrative well? There are many standalone stories in the Bible to captivate, but God has something else in mind when he put together the 66 books of the Bible. He had and has a bigger story to tell, the story of how he redeems a people for himself through Christ for his own glory. This is the statement on the cover of our study, a sentence to guide us the next 10 weeks. Storyline is about approaching the Bible as one cohesive story. Well, for me personally, Storyline has impacted me beyond anything I've encountered. Let me explain. My memories of listening to Bible stories began on the second floor of a small church on Diversey Avenue in Logan Square in Chicago. The building might have originally been a two-flat because teachers would stand in front of a fireplace in what looked like a living room to me at the front of the building. There was a kitchen at the rear. A bedroom off the hall was turned into a church nursery. I remember Sunday school teachers using flannel graphs and animated songs to tell stories from the New Testament and the Old in that front room. In the summertime as a child, I heard stories such as Noah's Ark and the miracle of the loaves and fishes at vacation Bible school and backyard Bible clubs. As I got a little older, Pioneer Girls was the place where Bible stories were earnestly and lovingly prepared by leaders to help us grow. My parents told stories and read devotionals. My growing up years were filled with stories, many of them told over and over. Well, when I got to high school, I do recall focusing on one book, the book of Romans, for a while. Yet it wasn't until I was introduced to the storyline concept many years later that these individual stories and wonderful truths behind them came together in a cohesive way. Cohesive is a storyline buzzword that we will be reading about and hearing a lot this fall. But I honestly can't think of any aspect of my faith that has not been impacted by the concept of storyline. From studying the Bible, to singing hymns, to listening to sermons, to talking with my kids and others about the Bible. My faith has grown not just because I view the Bible as one story from beginning to end instead of a collection of individual stories. And it's not just because I've gained a better understanding of God's plan for the world, which has happened. It's also because I'm more historically and spatially aware of God's plan throughout the actual physical years before and after Christ, yes, but also because I have a better perspective on what you and I are doing on earth today. Storyline is more than an intellectual pursuit. Storyline helps answer the question, what are we, you and I, supposed to be doing with the life God has given us? Well, it's almost, and this might sound a little funny, but it's as if one gains another sense, a sixth sense, by interacting with redemption history the storyline way. By connecting world history, our physical existence, and the earthly struggles which keep coming to God's eternal purposes for mankind, we are propelled to live in a more meaningful way for Christ and in Christ. By making these connections, we're able to live with certainty in an uncertain world. Well, some of you may have a similar story to mine, sitting in Sunday school, CCD, or church for decades, listening to God's word, but never really seeing God's big picture. Even if you didn't attend church regularly, certain Bible stories are a part of our culture. Think David and Goliath, Joseph in the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Whatever your background, whatever mine, whatever our grasp of biblical knowledge, storyline pulls things together in an ordered, logical way. Well, one of the contributing authors to our study expresses the idea of the Bible as one story this way. He explains, "This book, the Bible, is not the compilation of a variety of stories out of which we gain moral application, nor is it a book that tells the same story in a variety of ways. It is one story from start to finish, and our goal is to see how it unfolds in all its beauty, glory, and surprises." One story, one author, one focal point. One story, God redeeming or saving a people. One author, God breathing out every word of Scripture, as 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us. One focal point, Jesus Christ, in whom all the promises of God find their yes, 2 Corinthians 1:20. This is storyline of the Bible. Well, we've talked about the Bible as one story, as noted on our outline. But how about the organization of these 66 books? Are they placed in any discernible order And if so, why does this matter? Theologian J.I. Packer inspires with this statement. Once we start to explore the Bible, he says, we will find that it has an organic coherence that is simply stunning. There are stunning discoveries ahead for us this fall. Well, the Bible does move sequentially from the Old Testament to the New, from ancient times to the time of Christ and just after. The study in front of us mirrors this historical sequencing. Yet our study also divides its 10 lessons into various categories of writings represented in the Bible. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to its table of contents. And this is the page at the beginning of your Bible where the books are listed. And if you don't mind marking your Bibles, go ahead and designate these categories as I move through the 66 books of the Bible. So first, the Old Testament. Genesis to Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible are known as the Law or the Pentateuch. We spend our first 3 weeks, lessons 2, 3, and 4, in these foundational books packed with promises from God to his people. The historical books run from Joshua all the way to Esther. We'll do an overview of these books in lesson 5. You can mark Job to the Song of Songs or the Song of Solomon as the wisdom books, lesson 6. And then the Old Testament is completed with the next category, the prophetic books, Isaiah to Malachi. And that'll be lesson 7. And then we move on to the New Testament. The first four books of the New Testament are known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they contain what God wants us to know about Jesus' life and ministry on earth. Lesson 8. The book of Acts is the account of the early church after Jesus' ascension. Our study devotes an entire lesson to its contents, lesson 9. And then the category of the epistles follows. It's comprised of letters from Romans to Jude, lesson 10. And then finally, Revelation, a category of its own, is titled The Final Reversal. And that'll be in lesson 11. So from the pulpit of College Church this past year, we have heard a number of times from Pastor Moody on the importance of being whole Bible Christians. Well, knowing what is in each of these sections is one way for us to get to know the whole Bible. This fall, we'll develop a working knowledge of how these sections relate and be better able to answer questions such as, what is God doing to save a people in the books of the Pentateuch? What is God doing in the book of Acts? And how does what is happening in Acts connect to the promises given in Genesis? Storyline is not static. God continues to work as time moves on. And as storyline students, we will feel this forward movement. We will detect its tensions and experience the unfolding of the greatest story ever told. Well, the third and final point of the outline refers to what the Bible itself has to say about storyline. Well, exploring the entire Bible for clues on God's plan to save sinful people is hardly a new concept or one dreamed up by scholars. Storyline was designed by God and revealed in his written word. It's a God original. As we undertake an overview of Scripture this semester, we'll come across verses and passages that actually scream storyline and its components. One of these passages is 2 Peter. So go ahead and turn, if you have your Bibles, to the New Testament book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, as I read verses 3 and 4. And just listen for Peter's take on what God is up to when he initiates and then fulfills his promises. Verses 3 and 4. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. God grants us his precious and very great promises so that we can become partakers of divine nature, so that we can escape the corruption of the world. Sounds like God's plan is worth exploring. God understands we need rescue, and God rescues by redeeming a people for himself through Christ for his own glory. Let me close this in prayer. Lord, we are thankful for the creative way you communicate your rescue plan for the world through the medium of story. Oh, how this plan needs to be shared with the world today. May we as Storyline students live with greater certainty in an uncertain world because we've seen in black and white on the pages of the Bible your plan of promises given and fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen.